Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Welcome to the Rookie Fever Podcast. I'm Mike the Feverish Fanaro, and this is another 2022 rookie player profile. I'm here with Jeff Bell. Jeff is Dynasty Lead for Football Guys and co-host of the Devi Royale Podcast, and you can find him right here today on the Rookie Fever Podcast. You can also find him on Twitter at For Whom J Bell Tolls. Jeff, how the hell are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, thank you so much for having me in. We talked pre-show about, I really enjoy your show, and you and Shane are fantastic, and I really enjoy it. We miss Dave, of course, but I'm so thankful and happy to be here. And I love the content that you guys put out. I can't get enough rookie content. You know, I'm grinding it out as well on the Devi Royale, but we love diving into these prospects.
Good, man. Well, we're so happy you could join us, man. This is a treat for us. I know this is the first time for you on Rookie Fever, probably not the last, but tell them who you picked, but more importantly, why.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
So I was Desmond Ridder, and anybody that knows about me knows that I cannot get enough of the, you know, shout out to Rich Rebar, but the Konami Code quarterbacks, rushing quarterbacks. I love them in fantasy. I build my teams around them. I aggressively target them if I'm in startup drafts, and I look for them in my rookie drafts. And Desmond Ridder fits that profile.
He sure does. In his 48 starts with Cincinnati, Ridder compiled over 10,000 pass yards, 87 touchdowns, and threw just 28 interceptions, while adding, to your point, over 2,100 yards and 28 touchdowns on the ground. He also completed 65% of his passes over his junior and senior seasons and boasts an impressive 30-8 touchdown interception ratio. Is the Dynasty community sleeping on Desmond Ridder?
I think they are. So a lot of what it is Cincinnati runs a very ball control offense, and they ended up doing fine in points. They finished 11th in points scored, but they were 123rd in plays per game. They really kind of grind it out, and they do not let it rip. And so the fantasy community, the Devi community, is not going to be buzzing about Desmond Ridder, because while he posts, he can, you know, he'd obviously post rushing yards, and we love that in quarterbacks. He wasn't in a very high powered plays per game fantasy conducive offense. And I do believe that a lot of the early discord, the early conversation in the Dynasty community is driven out of that Devi community. And, you know, he was at Cincinnati, so it wasn't like he was at a Power 5 blue chip team that, you know, it was really generating the buzz. Certainly we saw him play in the college football playoffs, so that raised his profile. He didn't play well there, though. And so I think that was one of those against Alabama there. He was ready to take off, and he didn't play well. The coaching staff really didn't put him in position to play well. And I think that kind of ground to a halt on any potential buzz that he would have coming into the rookie season.
You bring up some awesome points about that stuff that, you know, I don't look as much in, not being an avid college watcher. That's a really, really, really good point as far as fantasy production, how it kind of affects the Devi community, and how that kind of then affects our opinions when we get closer and closer to this rookie draft. Desmond Ridder was in an interview with Spun by Sports Illustrated, and he was asked this question. Fill in the blank. Desmond Ridder should be the first quarterback taken off the board because. I liked Ridder's answer. Ridder's answer was because he's a winner, because he's tough, because he's a great leader, and because he makes plays when plays aren't there to be made. Jeff, fill in the blank. Why should Desmond Ridder be drafted in the first round of Superflex rookie drafts?
Athleticism. You know, the athletic profile, the ability to give you rushing points, rushing yards. And I do believe that he's the most pro-ready quarterback in this class. He's been a starter for 4 years. He's played in high stakes games. He played against Georgia the year before in the Sugar Bowl before going into the college football playoff. And he played well against Georgia and against a Georgia defense that we saw potentially be one of the most historic defenses in college football the following season on the way to winning a national championship. I think that gets kind of forgotten a little bit about there. But you look at the things that he's able to do, the athleticism that he's able to have, the amount of high pressure games he's been in. and projecting into him being a rookie quarterback, he's going to be asked to do a lot of the same things. As a rookie, he's going to be asked to keep his team in the game, not turn the ball over, which he did a fantastic job at. He's going to be asked to move the chains, and his athleticism is going to play into that. And so that's why I believe that he's the most ready pro quarterback in this class.
Oh, wow. These are really good points. These are points that are on the show sheet later. For example, clocking a 4.52 40-yard dash kind of went viral when being compared to Patrick Mahomes. He's not Mahomes. We talked about his mobility, but we do want to bring up that 4.52 is faster than Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Marcus Mariota. So there's something to pay attention to your point. His mobility is definitely something to pay attention to. I know we're hearing a lot about Malik Willis, but we're not hearing quite enough about Desmond Ridder and that mobility and those wheels. He definitely has that. He also has a 131.4 passer rating on 20-yard plus throws, led all college football, by the way. What do you think about Ridder's arm?
He can make the plays that he needs to make. He's not the guy, you know, early in the Senior Bowl, he struggled because he's not going to be the most accurate guy. And I don't know that. I think maybe we try a little bit too hard with like Josh Allen comparisons whenever we don't see an accurate guy, or maybe even like a Cam Newton might kind of be a more fitting comparison. And we really want those quarterbacks that can make those tight window throws, that do it consistently. But the reality of it is, when you bring athleticism to the quarterback position, you're changing the way that a defense is going to play you, and you're changing the windows that you're going to see, because they're committing more defenders to spies or keeping an eye on you. That's opening up things behind them. And you know, that stat that you mentioned, his 20 plus yards, what is happening a lot, Cincinnati did a very good job of running the ball. They would get defenses worked up, bring them up in the box, and then he'd hit them behind them too. Alec Pierce is another guy that's going to be in this class that probably deserves mention later in your rookie drafts.
Yeah, I noticed Alec Pierce popping up in NFL mock drafts a lot more than Dynasty gamers want to talk about him. So I thought that was an interesting name you just brought up. Two things that scouts seem to be the most concerned with is average arm talent, and you kind of alluded to the accuracy thing, but I think in this case it's arm talent in general, but also something you alluded to earlier in the show, which is college competition. When he did play two of the best SEC defenses last year, his performance were described as quote unquote less than inspiring. Are you concerned about his arm or the level of competition he faced? And I know you answered this a little bit, but the competition that he faced in what some would call an inferior conference.
I think it goes both ways, to be honest. Okay. When we're looking at a quarterback position, because you think about, sure, he's going against inferior competition in most games, but he's also doesn't exactly have offensive linemen that are going to be going to the league rolling out there. He doesn't have wide receivers. You know, I mentioned Alec Pierce, but he's not rolling out. You look at a guy like CJ Stroud coming up in next year's class. He's out there throwing to Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jackson Smith, and Jigba. I mean, you know, there is kind of, it goes both ways. Now, the Alabama game was weird because the game plan was interesting. So Luke Fickell was on around Jim Tressel's program when Jim Tressel played Miami. I'm going to go on a tangent here about
Ohio State football. I love it.
So he was on Jim Tressel's program when they played Miami in 2002. And if you're a football fan that remembers that long ago, that game was one of the biggest upsets that we've ever seen in the national championship game, because Miami was on the unbeatable team and Ohio State played a very ball controlled offense that game. There was a lot of quarterback runs. They allowed their defense to stay in it. And I think that Fickell borrowed elements of that game plan to try to make sure Alabama stayed close to Cincinnati. The problem was Alabama jumped out to a 2-touchdown lead, and Nick Saban is a very good coach as well. And Nick Saban was more than happy to sit on a 2-touchdown lead when the other team wasn't threatening him. And Cincinnati really didn't give Desmond Ridder an opportunity to succeed. They just really tried to keep the game tight. But when you're sitting on 2-touchdown lead and you know, the other keeping it tight is not, it's kind of playing into what the opponent that with that lead wants to do as well.
Sure. No, my God. Excellent point. See, this context matters. Just look at the level of competition or look at those playoff games and don't look a little closer. They missed this excellent stuff. Thanks for bringing that up. I've seen him. I love looking at NFL mocks because I feel like they tell a story as well, especially if you look at, you know, mocks of people you respect in that matter. Three spots that I've seen him most talk to. I want you to just kind of respond to the three spots and then give me your best fit of those three spots. Seattle Seahawks, Atlanta Falcons, and the Steelers.
So the Seahawks, I think there's, you know, that would be interesting for fantasy because we're giving him DK Metcalf. We're giving him Tyler Lockett in an offense that has, you know, they allowed Russell Wilson to get out of the pocket to move around a little bit and play into his strengths. The Falcons, that's another interesting one because I think that Ryan Tannehill is kind of an interesting comp for Desmond Ridder because they're both kind of more that lanky guy. They're good athletes. They're not, they're two different kinds of good athletes because, you know, Malik Willis is a little bit of that smaller package, a little bit quicker, like that Jalen Hurts package. Whereas Tannehill is a great athlete, but you know, he's more that prototypical size of quarterback position. And I think that there's some similarities there with Ridder. Now, my favorite landing spot would be the last one that you mentioned would be the Steelers, because I think that, you know, he's getting Chase Claypool there. He's getting Deontay Johnson there. He's getting Pat Freiermuth. You're putting him in young offense that is ready. And Najee Harris as well, that is ready to grow around him, that isn't going to ask him to do too much. And we saw Ben Roethlisberger there, and we know where Ben Roethlisberger was at the end of his career.
Right.
So putting him into that structured environment with those tools, those weapons around him, you know, they would allow Mitch Trubisky to play for a year likely, and then allow him to kind of ascend into that role. I think would be the fit that would intrigue me the most. I guess we're kind of talking about what kind of draft capital gets used on him. If he's a first round pick or second round pick, because all of those teams need help on the offensive line, and it would be nice to get him some real offensive linemen if he were to land in one of those spots.
I think the Steelers was my favorite spot for Ridder too, so I like that you brought that up. I think Harris helps him a ton in a couple different ways. I really do. And then of course those wide receivers would be nice too. And Pat has certainly showed that he's on the way to ascension with a great rookie season. Speaking of draft capital, NFL mock draft database only gives Ridder a 31% chance to go in the first round. Sounds like you wouldn't mind that. Yet some think that he deserves to be the first quarterback off the board in this class. NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky recently highlighted Ridder's tape against Indiana, saying he was the best among this class, highlighting his ability to communicate, run an offense, and handle multiple defensive looks. Where do you think he's going to go in the NFL draft? Like realistically, not where do you want him to go? Where do you think he'll probably fall?
So I think I have seen two different mindsets on quarterbacks in this class. And
they're all over the place.
I know. But I guess my point more is really where the first one goes is going to really dictate, I think, how it lands. Because, you know, if Malik Willis goes number two, I think that there's a great chance Kenny Pickett could go number six. And what you start to see, there's that trickle down effect where, you know, we decide that we really like these quarterbacks. We already see them going off the board. I'm going to make sure to get my guy. The other way that you could go would be nobody takes quarterbacks in the top 20 or so. And then you see Malik Willis go around like 20 to the Steelers or there, and they've lasted a little bit later. And then teams might be a little bit more willing to wait, obviously would be willing to wait because they'd see the rest of the league waiting on them. I tend to fall in the first camp. I think that, you know, I've said kind of for a month or more that I think that Malik Willis is going to go number two if the team doesn't go up to get him at number one, because I don't know that anybody's really separated themselves at the top of this class. And we know how the league has traditionally valued the quarterback position. Malik Willis has kind of knocked every checkpoint along the way in the pre-draft process, and he's got that package of tools that everybody's looking for in the position. So if quarterbacks are going earlier, I tend to believe that I've got Ridder as the third quarterback off the board in my mind, and I think he's the pretty clear second fantasy quarterback. And if he gets that first round draft capital, that's going to be so important because that shows that the franchise is willing to make that real commitment to him.
Yeah. Awesome points again. All right. So I've been trying to do this year as opposed to last year. They're not going to all succeed. So let's talk about if Ridder fails or busts. I'm talking 3 years out, because you can't count that. I'm not talking year one. If he just fails, what happened? What pitfalls, what shortcomings, what landed Ritter into just the guy territory?
Not having the arm talent to get it done would be okay. The first place to start. Not being able to make those tight window throws, not being able to threaten a defense and be able to, you know, really punish them, not be able to stretch the field vertically, not be able to play, make the defense kind of back off there to allow him to use his athleticism if needed. You know, processing maybe that jump from being at Cincinnati, you know, it is Cincinnati obviously was a conference or a CFP finalist, and they made it to the college football playoff. They were a good program, but they were certainly not playing in the SEC week in and week out. So that level of competition weekly, but also not having the arm talent in order to get it done.
Jeff, I love how you answered that question. So many of my guests, and I respect you all, tend to go for the low hanging fruit, which would be situation. Yeah, the player is awesome. He can't do anything wrong, but you know, the wrong team drafts them. And that certainly could happen too. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think that's a big Malik Willis thing. Malik Willis is drafted too early or to a team that just doesn't really have Trubisky to roll out there for year one. They might have to just throw him out there. And, you know, and Mark Schofield pointed out to me, I don't love that at all. Really don't want Malik Willis to start week one. So I'm not devaluing those criticisms, but I like that because I think that still exists. I think you admit that that's obviously part of that, what would make him fail. But I like that you just picked his traits and said, you know, okay, listen, like he did come from a lesser program. Like maybe he can't make that leap. And maybe this arm talent does really shine through because they're going to be NFL corners all over the place all the time. Like, you know, and then, you know, the short leash, we've seen the short leash, you know, if you aren't doing it, you're just moved to the side. And we're not talking about Ritter being a top five or a top 10 talent. So the shorter, the later he's picked, the shorter the leash. So everything you said, I think, is incredibly valid when you're thinking about Desmond Ritter. But I think also the thing that's thrown in for fantasy that makes him valuable to me is he's a fourth or fifth quarterback thought about. Right. Like,
yes,
typically he's like sometimes even like he really goes late in rookie drafts, at least for now. Obviously, if he goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, these things are going to change. Landing spots do change our opinions. But the wheels, the fact that he is not Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett to fantasy gamers right now, these make him a value right now. And again, this is all these profiles are before the draft. The draft is right around the corner. So rookie fever, have some fun, exciting things to talk about. Speaking of fun and exciting, we drew Ritter down into the mud. Let's bring him back up. Let's hype him up now. Let's before we move on to our last two questions, which aren't about Ritter and just about the class, what is Ritter's ceiling now? What could he be?
I mean, he could be a fantasy top 12 quarterback one. The reality of it is he has every single tool outside of maybe questionable arm talent to ascend to the top tier of fantasy. And, you know, we see it with Jalen Hurts, where Jalen Hurts, the accuracy isn't always there, but he's still able to put up numbers that win for you in fantasy leagues. And so he certainly has those tools, that ability, that ceiling. And so, like, that's why I'm higher on him. That's why he's my quarterback too when it comes to this rookie class for fantasy. And I've got him, you know, I'm willing to take him at pick 9 if I'm in a super flex league, maybe even considering earlier if I, depending on where my quarterback position is. Now, certainly I want that first round draft capital locked in before I'm really getting there. But I do think if he lands there, if he lands in a good spot, you know, I think that when you look at it right now, when you look at the rookie classes right now, kind of that pick 3 through 8 is a little bit of ambiguity on where we're going to slot. And it's largely the receivers, where we're going to slot the receivers in. But I do think that Ritter can really work up there. And if he lands in a great spot and people really kind of clicks in their minds that this is how the league views him and he has this athleticism, there's no reason why he shouldn't even be in the conversation for higher than that.
This is actionable content, Jeff. Actionable content. I love it. And then all of it gets stirred up when we find out what teams are on.
That's right. When he goes in the fourth round and everybody says, oh, Jeff is saying all this stuff about Desmond Ritter and he's a fourth round pick.
It's fun stuff, isn't it? All right. Now over to our non-Desmond Ritter question. So who is your guy in this year's draft? Who are you hanging your hat on? You don't need to go for we're not looking for, you know, any sort of dart throws here. We're just looking for a guy that you feel very, very confident about in your rookie draft selecting.
I mean, you want me to throw a dart?
Yeah, throw a dart.
I love Abram
Smith. Who doesn't like him?
I love Abram Smith, running back out of Baylor. I just love him. He was a converted linebacker, and he set the Baylor school record for rushing yards this past season. He ran a 4.5, so he has requisite speed. He's a linebacker. He's got that mentality. I just think that he is entirely slept on by the dynasty community right now, and you don't even have to use a rookie pick on him. And I think that he's got a great chance to land and work his way into early down goal line value and potentially even more than that. And so I'm gonna throw it out there. That's a guy that all season, and I think that he was the the running back of the Senior Bowl, essentially one running back MVP in the Senior Bowl. He scored a touchdown in the Senior Bowl. He played very well in the Senior Bowl. He's tested regularly what you want to see. He's got that speed. He's got enough speed, but he's got the mentality and the size profile to get early down work.
All right. Well, I gotta ask you a little bit more than that. Okay. So yeah. So if this guy's gonna be a dart throw and is gonna have this kind of opportunity, he's gonna have to get drafted. A.
Yes.
B. How early? For you to still feel the same way you do, right? Because we have takes before the NFL gives us how they feel about a player. So if he goes undrafted, you're gonna have less ambition for this player, I assume. So if he was picked in where, fifth, sixth round, you're still feeling comfortable, or do you need?
Yeah, more? You know, if he gets fifth, sixth round, I would probably feel comfortable. I think landing spot. I think the reality of it is, I don't know. Everybody's so burnt on Clyde Edwards-Helaire that they don't want to talk about landing spot with running backs. But you know, we saw Michael Carter go in the fourth round last year, and everybody was wheels up because they decided there wasn't anybody else that was going to be the Jets' running back.
100%.
So if he lands, I mean, if the Texans take this dude in the fifth round and the Texans don't have anybody but Marlon Mack on their team, like, why are we not like looking at this player? I mean, that's kind of the reality of it.
Yep. Nope. Landing spots and draft cap. I was curious about the, cause landing spots are so tough, but curious about that draft capital.
For running backs, it's so, and I almost think landing spots more important than draft capital for running backs. Once you get outside of like the first round says something about a running back, but kind of once you get out there, you were just trying to look for, you know, like last year, Khalil Herbert, like he was a guy that was really slept on. And, you know, Elijah Mitchell was potentially he's the third best rookie running back in last year's class in terms of fantasy. And sixth he was a sixth round pick. Yep. So, I mean, it's one of those that even just using the way that the league values running back, even using a decently mild draft pick on them tells you something about how the team views the player. And then when you see a depth chart that they're able to climb quickly, I mean, that's all you're looking for.
Like it. That's spoken from a true zero RB strategist right there. I like it. Always looking at those depth charts. I need that other guy. I'm not worried about the guy everybody's hyped about. I want that guy that's actually going to get the job. I love it.
That's right.
Conversely, one guy you just won't touch. Everyone's going to overdraft, or you're just not interested. You're out.
Well, I think everybody's caught up on Kyren Williams. I think most people are off Kyren Williams. If you're still considering Kyren Williams in the second round, don't do it. But I would say David Bell is a guy that I'm just not really all that high on. I have questions about how big of a role he can grab in an NFL receiver room. He kind of, to me, he profiles more as a like fourth wide receiver in a rotation, or maybe like I think my ceiling comp for him is like a Tyler Boyd, where Tyler Boyd's a very productive player. It's a nice player, but you're not exactly building your fantasy rosters around Tyler Boyd. And the Bengals even used an early draft pick to kind of move Tyler Boyd down the depth chart and into a more of a bit player role. And so that's a guy that I still see people taking in the mid second round, and there are people that are super hyped on him still. And I can't argue with the production profile at Purdue, but I always look at that and say, I mean, if Garrett Wilson were at Purdue and the Purdue was throwing the ball at Garrett Wilson every play, I think Garrett Wilson would probably post pretty decent numbers. And so that's kind of where I get off on David Bell a little bit there, and segments of the community are higher on him. It's just one of those, I have questions about his top end.
Yeah, I'm still looking at David Bell, but I, from what I've seen so far and these draft profiles, I have him in a tier below where he is, which means I probably won't have him on any of my fantasy rosters.
No.
And if I look any closer and I have, only a few more weeks to do that before rookie draft start, but he's probably going to drop a little further, especially this is our second David Bell I want to walk away from. So That's not a good sign, David. Well, it was a really good sign having you on the show, Jeff. Thank you so much. I definitely couldn't have done it without you. Please tell everyone where they can find you, your content, or anything else you have coming up that you want to talk about.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, of course, far too often at For Whom J Bell Tolls. You can find me with Football Guys. I've got Dynasty content. I've got all kinds of content coming out there. We're kind of doing a lot behind the scenes right now. Unfortunately, I'm a CPA. I'm a tax season, so I'm completely slammed. And so my ability to put out content is severely hindered. But you can find me every Tuesday night at 9:30 on the Devi Royale.
I see you on Twitter all the time, and that's why I reached out to you. I respect your work, and I can't thank you enough. I also want to thank our listeners for allowing us to hit your ears. This is the Rookie Fever Podcast. On behalf of myself and Swagzilla Zero G, please don't forget to rate and review, and please don't forget to be awesome. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? It's never done this to be full and run. I told you anyone. Size must be just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.